What is the great danger of thinking too highly of oneself? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm your host, Alden Thompson. We continue our series of discussions on the book of Proverbs, and we're focusing on Proverbs 25 to 27 this week. My conversation partners are Dave Thomas, Dean of the Walla Walla University School of Theology, and Linda Emerson, an assistant professor of philosophy on our campus. Our specific title is Behind the Mask, kind of a scary one. But I'd like to come to the question now, what is the major danger of thinking too highly of oneself? We'll look at some of the Proverbs. It may give some feed in there, but I'd like your reaction first.
I'd like to hear the Proverbs first, Alden.
You'd like to hear the Proverbs?
Yeah.
All right. But
before we risk our opinions, let's hear the Proverbs.
Okay. I've got several here. First, under the heading of self-pretension and honesty. Okay. 25:6. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. 7. It is better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles.
By asking you to go down.
Right. 26:4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. 26:12. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them.
And let me just interject you, Alden. You're an Old Testament prof. What's with the word fool that is so common here? Because, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus warned about using
Don't call a person a fool.
Yeah, but here it's quite frequently used. I mean, is there anything we should know there?
I wish I could take the teeth out of that one.
Okay.
But I've not done, you know, I've that every time I come to this stuff, I said, you know, I really should do some study on that, because Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is pretty pointed. I'm not calling a person a fool. Hmm. But there are passages in the New Testament that haven't heard Jesus or haven't paid attention to it. There's some pretty strident stuff as well.
Okay.
Now, there's a comment, what I remembered from C.S. Lewis here in his Surprised by Joy, and I think it's a very sobering one, which may point us in the great danger. The moment good taste knows itself, some of its goodness is lost. 26:24, enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. 25, though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for 7 abominations fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. 27:2, let someone else praise you, not your own mouth, an outsider, not your own lips.
Now, that one's interesting to me because it says not to do it, but doesn't tell why.
Yep, doesn't tell. No practical instruction.
So I think maybe we should go back to your question. What's the major danger of thinking too highly of oneself?
There is another quote from C.S. Lewis that I'm not going to be able to
recite,
but it comes at the moment of conversion, which he says for him was a depressing moment. You know, it was a lowering moment. It filled him with not despair exactly, but with
a far more realistic view of himself.
Yeah. And he said it was in that moment that I realized, and of course this is his Anglican theology at work, but it was in that moment that I realized that every single human being stood in precisely the same relationship to God as I. Every single human being is an immortal soul.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So all of this, and he's an Oxford Don.
Yeah.
You know, this is a socially and academically elite sort of person. And yeah. And the British system is a fair bit more classist, you know, at least it's more overtly classist.
Let me come back to that headline on the front of Newsweek when the guy was dressed fit to kill, and they said, "You're so vain."
Right.
See, what is it that in human interaction is so deadly about thinking too highly of ourselves?
Well, I think one of it is it makes you into a very bad companion. No, because you're all about yourself, and you have this inflated opinion of yourself, and therefore you're talking about yourself, and you're measuring everything by yourself. Well, it becomes pretty disengaging to people who are around you.
I mean, yeah.
It makes for pretty bad company.
Yeah, I think it offers us a distorted view of reality that makes it much more difficult for us to engage mm-hmm. in a more holistic view of what morality might be. Yeah. You know, I was in one of the classes I took in one of my graduate programs, I was looking at Confucianism and looking at art and poetry and music as well as the philosophical writings of Lao Tzu. And you probably remember seeing some scroll paintings, these vertical mm-hmm. Ancient Chinese paintings, or even modern reproductions of those. And there'll be huge mountains in the distance and clouds and huge waterfalls flowing down into the valley below. And there'll be trees and a path and maybe a little house tucked in somewhere and a little tiny cart and a little tiny human being. And this is philosophically significant for Lao Tzu and then for Confucius, that the human being is a part of nature, but not the the way we think of ourselves mm-hmm. in nature. And that was a moment for me, a moment of enlightenment in a way for me, that was oddly resonant with the scripture. And I think you can't have that appreciation if you're so full of you. That kind of takes up the universe. So aside from the spiritual and ethical questions of thinking too well of oneself, there's a way in which life for you is diminished too.
Yeah. I also think that people who have inflated opinions of themselves, their arrogance causes them to think so highly of themselves that they look down in a disdainful manner on everybody else.
Sure.
And who wants to be around that? I mean,
now, I don't know whether we can draw the line, and maybe you draw it for different people, but I like to be around people who are self-confident.
Well, sure.
But not to the point where they are arrogant.
That's right.
See? So it's that line of...
That's a healthy person.
It's a healthy person.
A healthy
person.
Sense of self.
But given the fact that, as I said previously, that we never know everything, human arrogance is a very unbecoming trait. Very unbecoming.
Yep. It's inappropriate.
Yes. Who do you think you are?
It's ill-informed.
Yes. It is the product of a foolish mind.
Yeah, and that's one topic.
I didn't use the word fool. I said foolish mind.
Oh, foolish mind. Okay, good.
I also love this quote that you reminded us of, Alden. The moment good taste knows itself, some of its goodness is lost. It reminds me of some meditative writings that I've read of Thomas More's about the soul, and that the Parker Palmer too writes about this. The soul is shy. And the minute, I mean, when good taste knows itself, there's this becomes sort of a self-conscious moment.
Yeah.
And that just, you know, the soul just goes away.
Yeah.
The soul just kind of retreats in that moment.
Well, there's some great quotations too. I've forgotten whether this was Augustine or if it was his biographer, or maybe it was Aristotle. The pleasure given to a distinguished person by an honor is to see other people recognizing a truth long apparent to himself.
It seems to me like we've talked around this a little bit. I'm still trying to figure out what's the major danger of thinking too highly of oneself.
Well, I think we have a distorted view of reality, which makes it very difficult for us to enter into human experience in any meaningful way.
Very
aside from
well
the fact,
said, Linda.
You know, aside from the fact that we're just not really pleasant to be around, how can we be effective in the world? I mean, if we can't even see it.
I would say you put your finger right on that one very, very nicely.
Yeah.
You do not participate in as meaningful a way in the human experience as you should if you are arrogant.
Yeah, you can't.
No.
See, I think it all starts. Jesus said, treat others the way you'd want to be treated. We don't like to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we treat others that way?
Mm-hmm.
See? It's coming back to this law of reciprocity because it's really very important.
How come there's no blows involved in arrogance here, Alden?
Wait a minute. We might get there.
It seemed to fix other...
Well, let's... you know, on your notes here, my study guideline, what I did was to make a list of statements about fools.
Which like is, the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb, yeah, proverb in the mouth of a fool.
Let me just tick these off, because in chapter 26, there are six of these, one right after the other. This is really astonishing. Sending a message by hands of a fool is like cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like tying a stone in a sling is giving the is the giving of honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool.
Ouch.
Like an archer who wounds at random is one who fires a fool or a passerby. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly.
None of those are charitable.
None of those are very charitable.
And really not very interesting. But we all do it. We probably all do all these things.
Well, as we look at the Proverbs, especially on these things that have to do with human behavior, there are a lot of other words that we could explore here. I put down diplomacy, mm-hmm. honesty, mm-hmm. flattery, and, of course, humility. We've talked on that. See, I find it difficult to work with papers, especially writing papers, when I'm correcting them, because there's always this tension. If I am too honest and correct too many things, mm-hmm. I could discourage it.
Right. So you're being honest, but you are being honest in a measured way.
I'm being
in a way that
honesty.
Accommodates yep. where it, the what actually, the student is ready to hear.
It's right. actually not limited honesty. It's limited frankness.
Yeah, maybe that's a better way
honest,
to say it.
But you're not telling
you're
all
measured,
you know.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no moral requirement to tell mm-hmm. all you know, is there, Linda?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's right. That's right. I think that actually, you actually talked about this in an earlier segment. And that I think having knowledge puts one in a difficult situation
yeah.
of leadership.
Yeah.
And so wisdom. And I think a mature sense of morality and spirituality come into play in discerning mm-hmm. how and when and to
arrogance destroys that.
Yeah.
Part of my problem when I'm correcting papers, if I don't mark something that needs to be improved, then the student may very well come back and say, "I thought that was okay," because you didn't mark it. See, and so it's always that how far can you push people?
It's a real balance.
Yeah, it's a real
balance. A real balancing act.
And I don't know that there's any formula mm-hmm. that makes it exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, our topic is going to be living by faith, which is an intriguing one in Proverbs. Thank you, Linda and Dave, for being our conversation partners today. And my thanks to David Olson, our program engineer, to all of you for listening in for the Good Word. I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.